As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Is this music? I can't get enough of that sweet music. Hey, how about we get some music on here, huh? There is music on? That's great. I love music. This is good. Is this animals? Instruments? That's great. If I ever have a kid, I'm going to let him listen to music because music seems pretty fine to do, to listen to. How about we turn on some music? I've turned off the music. I love this song. Put it where? I love this song. It's not playing. I love this song. This is my favorite part. The song's over. I know.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast. On the Athletic Network, it's Monday, February 28th. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, he likes music, Stas Mellis.
Good day, everybody.
We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo.
Ayo.
The international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And finally, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live here on a Monday, right here on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, share the show. Really appreciate that. I saw at one point this morning we were at 50,666 subs. The mark of the beast. So let's get one more so it doesn't stay on that. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Send them in all week long. I'm sure we'll hit the beach. I keep saying that, but I know we will hit the beach at some point this week. Yeah, we will. We will.
You're proclaiming that?
Yeah.
I hope we don't.
What? It's getting nice out. I don't know why you're not wearing shorts.
Yeah, this is crazy, man.
What's going on?
They were calling you Lee Legs Ellis in the stream team earlier, and you come in here wearing a pair of jeans.
Look how sunny it is outside.
It was a little chilly this morning when I was up for morning drop-off at school, so I had to put the pants on.
No.
I had the boys in shorts, but the old dad was in pants.
Weird. No, we will be hitting the beach.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I changed my mind.
Okay, good. So get your questions in to nodunks@theathletic.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at No Dunks Inc. That's INC. It's Monday, so we got winners and losers of the NBA weekend. I feel like we have so much here to talk about. We'll get into the Harden debut, and I can't wait to break that down. But before all that, we had a wedgie in Portland last night. So you know what that means. We had the wedgie whisperer, Lamar Hurd, on the call.
That's good to hear.
Well, whenever that time
but
is.
But not this year.
Oh,
all right. You're keeping track of these.
We got a wedgie. Well, I got to go to wedgietracker.com because I haven't visited it in a while. It's been a while since the Blazers have had one, so I haven't had to spend a lot of time up there. Now, our No Dunks friends, I mean, they'll update you and stuff, but I just haven't checked in recently. So that's a solid one, too. Get there. No messing around.
It is a solid one, Lamar, and it's been a while since we've had one. We do not have a lot of wedgies in 2022, but we're up to 27. We're showing you wedgietracker.com. I love the shout-out for the website.
Yeah.
And No Dunks, so thank you, Lamar, as always. And they keep happening in there in Portland.
Can't figure it out with the Wilsons. We got off to such a hot start, and I thought maybe it's the new ball. And
yeah.
It's just like now, I mean, wedgies few and far between.
It's all right. It's all right. I mean, we'll get a bunch this week. Mm. You know, we said it showed there, what, on pace for just 40.
I thought we just passed the All-Star break. Shouldn't we be halfway? Shouldn't it be like 54? No, that's not how the All-Star break
works.
It's the
home stretch here. It's not the second half.
Only 13 projected the rest of the season.
Ooh.
That's bad. Wow. That's terrible. But we got you, Calabro. 27. 27.
Let's get into our winners of the NBA weekend. And Tass, I sort of teed you up there, but you're taking James Harden here in the 76ers. Looking pretty good here, this pairing.
Yeah. Joel Embiid said they're unstoppable after two wins. They beat the Timberwolves. They beat the New York Knicks, a 30-point win against the Wolves and a 16-point win against the Knicks. Obviously, they looked really, really good together. The chemistry looks like it's solid. Obviously, the points are coming from James Harden. The boards, because he's going to get your triple-double-ish numbers. Mm-hmm. But it's the assists, I think, that really, really stand out. Huge numbers, especially against the Knicks yesterday. He's averaging 14 assists through two games. I think he's the best entry passer that the Sixers have, period. And Joel Embiid was saying, I really haven't got passes like this ever in my career. And there were some that he was surprised to get, like on the break, hit him in the hands, he bobbled it because he just didn't see they were coming. I think with all the talk about James Harden and, you know, what he does, that he dribbles a lot and that he shoots a lot, we forget how incredible a passer he is. He literally sees the floor very, 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 very well. And Embiid, you know, weeks after saying Ish Smith is the best point guard he's ever played with, maybe that's a dig at Ben Simmons. James Harden, obviously now the best point guard he's ever played with, an incredible passer. The chemistry, it is, it's going to, I guess, be expedited, that chemistry, because Harden has the ball in his hands all the time. And when he plays a lot. So I think that's why Joel Embiid said this week, and I really never been wide open like this in my life. Seriously, I mean the passes. And, you know, he's talking about all the attention that Harden gets when he's dribbling the ball. The hamstring looks obviously really great. He's lulling guys to sleep. So Embiid, 37 and 34 this weekend. Then he hit IG and he said, I can't believe this is my life. You know, with a picture of him on the floor. He's pumped. I think Tyrese Maxey also very pumped to be the other member of the big three. That's who he is right now.
He's the Derek Fisher of the Shaq and Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we feel about Maxey, who's played really well here with Harden on the team, being included in a big three? I think it's a little premature.
49 points in the first two games.
I guess. Yeah.
So
not Tobias.
Tobias Harris, is he what? Yeah. Rick Fox?
Yeah.
He's the Rick Fox of the Shaq and Kobe.
That's a good one.
The thing is, though, with Maxey, like, that was like, how is this guy going to adapt with James Harden there? And James Harden's finding him, and he's shooting.
Yeah.
And it's been great for him through two games.
Yeah.
This
is
awesome.
Listen, Harden wanted to be in Philadelphia because he wanted to have the ball more. He said after leaving Brooklyn, Philadelphia was my choice because it's the best Harden I can be. And to me, that means I can dribble every possession. And Tyrese Maxey is a young player and he's waiting. Hands up, ready to just shoot those open lanes as soon as he gets the ball. And because Harden does lull defenses to sleep, everybody's watching Harden. Maxey has those lanes. He's using that athleticism to his advantage, 28 and 21. He's ready to receive those passes. And, yeah, he is the third member because Tobias Harris and the rest of the guys, George Niang, Danny Green, Matisse Thybulle, I question whether or not they can make shots throughout the entire playoffs, whether or not this is a championship team. They barely did enough this weekend because those other three guys were just – Harden, Embiid, and Maxey specifically were so good that they didn't really need much contributions for those guys. But I worry about their depth. Seth Curry gone. And, those guys didn't have to do a lot, really. When Harden's averaging 28 points, 9 boards, even those hands working with some steals there against the Knicks, he had 5 steals. The feet, not necessarily moving on defense, but the body there. I love when he gets mad when somebody tries to help him in the post on defense.
He's like, don't.
Get the hell out of here. What are you doing? You're leaving other guys open. Because he is seriously strong. 5 steals. And then at the other end, the free throws. Everyone was worried. These dudes are just going to shoot free throws after free. And they did.
They 100% did.
Yeah. So combined, they're averaging 29.5 free throws through two games. So it's like 15 for each of them. But it was Sunday. Embiid had 27 free throws. And it was kind of tough to watch.
It was a long game.
It was long, but Embiid loves it. Harden loves it. And they show after the game that they do love each other. I think one thing that was underestimated, this is a comedic duo. When they hit the press conference, I think it's different because Harden is sort of off the ball. Embiid's the jokey one. And Harden just looks at him while we're showing you a clip on YouTube of
who drinks water though.
Yeah, and the chugging a bottle of water.
That's good.
Yeah. Literally
good.
Crushing it.
That's good. Good water.
Yeah,
so, really good water.
So they reverse roles, you know, because usually you see Harden doing either the talking or the dribbling. Now Embiid's the jokester, and Harden can play the off guy during press conferences. Man. Yeah, so I think that'll we're in for some good comedic moments like we did there, watching a man chug a bottle of water.
He crushed that.
I know you proposed to your wife, Roxy, in a weird way.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, you were on the other side of the globe.
Yeah.
And you were in a
different
phone
continent.
Booth.
Phone
but
booth.
Did you have, when you actually did get married, did you have the honeymoon?
Yes.
Did you go anywhere?
Yes, we did. We went to Lima, but I couldn't leave the country for the first 12 months because being married to a Canadian, you have to stay. To prove that it's a legit marriage, you got to stay in the country.
You didn't just do it for your paperwork.
No. So it was delayed by a year, but we got there.
But the honeymoon?
Beautiful.
Amazing. First couple of days, I'm sure, of the honeymoon were probably the best.
Yeah, awesome. That's great food. Met some in-laws.
Great sex, I hope.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Good.
Not bad.
There you go. Well, this is Harden and Embiid is what I'm getting at here. I don't know if Roxy's Embiid or Harden, but this is like the perfect start.
Classic.
Perfect start to the honeymoon here.
Absolutely.
Of the Sixers. And it helped out a little bit, especially playing the Knicks, who is like Embiid.
And it was a close game.
Yeah.
And then it ended up being a 16-point.
Yeah. Same with Friday night. It was a close-ish game. It ended up being a 30-point game. And the Knicks led yesterday's game in the last quarter, in the fourth quarter. They really came back because they're looking bad. But then, yes, the Sixers got away with it. And the honeymoon is an interesting thing because we've seen it before in Brooklyn, where he had a great start. Even in Houston, when he came back, remember, if he missed those first few games, he was good then. So Harden's doing all the right things right now. Attitude's great. Body language is great. You know, he's saying all the right things. Yeah. He's passing to his teammates. They're winning games. Now the question is, okay, can you do that every single night now for the rest of this season?
And can you do it in the playoffs?
Yeah,
can you do it next season?
But for now, I mean, if you're the Sixers, you're like you mentioned Seth Curry, like we can live without him if we get this out of Tyrese Maxey.
This is why people, myself included, were saying Morey and Sixers have to trade right now at before the deadline for a star player, if you can, of course, in a Harden when that deal became a possibility, to pair with Embiid because they are title contenders. There are five or six teams in the Eastern Conference that you could talk yourself into winning the East, but they're one of them, and they're more than they were prior to acquiring James Harden. If this was the Harden you were going to get, and they probably felt good about it because Maury's like, he loves me, he'll play hard, don't worry. Then what happened to his hand injury? What happened to his hamstring injury? This is all gone. So, and this is why
you
do this
deal.
How did
he lose 20 pounds in a week? What does he do? Does he ask for a bigger jersey and wear it more untucked when he's ready to leave a place? And then he goes to the next one, size me down, I'm going to tuck it in tighter so I look slimmer. Because it's the same thing every time. I used to think trading for John Salmons was the best move you could make because suddenly he would be a 25-point-per-game scorer afterwards. But James Harden is the best player you can possibly trade for because he instantly becomes a top-five player like that. So I kind of thought next year was going to be the 76ers' best chance to win a title. It might be this year they're on the honeymoon period right now, people come in and like, oh, can you believe James Harden's passing? I can. He averaged 10.9 assists per game last year for the Brooklyn Nets. He was second in the league in assists. The guy's one of the best passers in the league. He just gave up for a month.
Yeah.
So now he comes back in. He's been basically resting for a month. He looks like the fastest guy. Guess what? The movement's not going to keep happening when he stays in Philadelphia. He's not going to be running to the corner for threes. Look how many three-pointers from the corner James Harden ever takes. It never happens. He's not going to be running fast breaks. But he will for this year to look good, to get his rep back up. So go for it. It worked perfectly. It unleashed some stuff for Tyrese Maxey. He's a good player with the ball, but he's an even better player if he doesn't have to have the ball all the time and he can just run and be athletic out there. So obviously things look great for Philadelphia. How long will it last? We shall see. We shall see what happens in the playoffs when Embiid is not going to the line 27 times.
Right.
But a perfect start for the 76ers and honestly just hilarious.
Yeah, and to bring it back to the Embiid quote, of him saying like, this is the best basically guy I've ever played with in terms of getting me the ball and the passes, I was trying to rack my brain and remember, because in this one game against the Knicks there was I guess it was off probably a high pick and roll there, or there was other action on the side, but Harden threw a lob to Embiid. Can you recall many times where Embiid has thrown down an alley-oop off of again sort of a high pick and roll action and he's rolling and there's other I couldn't. I was I know it's happened.
Did he dunk it though?
That what he did.
Did it? I thought there was other lobs where Harden threw it up to Embiid and Embiid would have to go up and bring it down. And then
I thought there was the one where he did
finish
it on the
oop,
but it was that doesn't happen all that often. You know, he's like, well, that's Harden Capella Rockets days there. And it's like, you know, you sort of forget that, of course, Joel Embiid is super athletic.
Yeah, but he's not a lob guy.
I don't think
that's going to be a big part of their game in the future. I think it's going to be more the pocket passes, which you saw from Harden as well. And one thing that I do think that was interesting, not a ton of post-ups for Joel Embiid. That's been a question of how Harden is going to fit in there. Everybody brings up Dwight Howard, but I'm sorry, Dwight Howard and Joel Embiid post-ups are way
slightly different.
Yeah. at this point. But honestly, if they can get by with not having to post up Embiid for the rest of the regular season, that saves his body for the postseason when they're going to need him to post up, when they're going to need him to just draw fouls and go to the line. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just going to let Harden cook here for a little bit, because that's what Doc was trying to do, running him out there with an all-bench unit.
Yep.
Did not look great, but when you have Harden, you can at least try him. Yeah. With a bunch of scrubs out there.
Yeah, and Doc is known for really being able to get the most out of supporting players throughout his career. Those those guys that are, I know people.
He's great at getting Tobias Harris almost to the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's
fine. Great at almost getting.
Well, now he's the number four guy. I mean, hit some shots. If
he's still the number three guy, I think.
Nah.
I really think it's not.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because they need because of the way Harden plays, because the ball is in his hands all the time. Tobias Harris needs the ball in his hands, I think, to be Tobias Harris. But Maxey can use his athleticism and just be a direct line guy. I think it's different, and that's why Embiid is playing differently through two games, obviously. But being a role guy, we just don't see that, and that's how you get the most out of James Harden. That's what he did with Clint Capella. That's what he did with the Nets centers for a bit. Yeah, I think it is strange watching Embiid. Yeah, it was more of a role guy. It is very different. Embiid loves it, I think, because he doesn't have to bang as much. It's totally true. But yeah, I think the recipe is there for them to be good. But is Harden going to be able to be a 40-minute guy? I think that hamstring, as good as it looks now, as good as an NBA trade can help a guy's health like it did this week, will it be great in the playoffs? Will 40 minutes of Harden dribble, dribble, dribble be great? I mean, maybe Embiid plays a lot more in the post, and those other guys have to produce. Tobias Harris, yeah, I think he's the fourth guy.
Well, they play the Knicks again. That's their next game, not till Wednesday. So Harden can rest that hamstring. Probably a W. And then I'm just bringing up the schedule here because, again, they played the Wolves, who Embiid always owns Cat, and then they played the Knicks here twice. Play the Cavaliers. They got some bigs. Interested to see how that goes. And then they play the Miami Heat with the way Bam has been playing. Will be very interesting in the way that team's playing. Yeah, in Miami. That's on Saturday. So they don't have a lot of games this week. But, of course, you know, we're loving it. The honeymoon is off to a great start, as we said. But, you know, it is, again, still here, the Wolves and the Knicks.
So predictable, though, too, isn't it?
It is. Like,
He even said after the game when Cassidy interviewed him, he said, I took the last few weeks off to get my body right and to get my mind right. You know, I just wanted to be ready to go. But listen, this is the thing. If James Harden is able to consistently keep that switch flipped, the Sixers, honestly, this was a no-brainer to make this deal.
Right.
You know, they know what they're getting now.
Trey, let's go to you next. Winner of the weekend.
Yeah, the Nets had lost 13 of 15 heading into the weekend, so any win is a big win for them, but they rolled up a huge W on Saturday night, beating a pretty intact Bucks team in Milwaukee, and it was mostly thanks to Kyrie Irving. His first game post-All-Star, his first game in 2 weeks, had to be pretty fresh out there. A season-high 38 points for Kyrie on 54% shooting. Added 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and a couple of steals. He was dominant. I said it before, if you play once every 2 weeks, honestly, you have to dominate when you go out. Like, it's embarrassing if you don't.
Right.
Kyrie is still awesome, though. And, you know, seeing him out there playing, you're like, oh, yeah, this is why the Nets are still somehow the Eastern Conference favorites, Vegas-wise. I thought it was also interesting, Goran Dragic's debut for Brooklyn. The line wasn't crazy. 6 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 2 assists. He only played 14 minutes, but he's a playmaker. And he plays downhill, which I think is way different, which allows Kyrie to be off the ball. Eventually, it'll allow Kevin Durant to be off the ball. Seth Curry, not a great playmaker. Patty Mills, not a great playmaker. And they both kind of go east to west, more so than north-south, which Dragic brings, I think. He also plays in transition, which I think is going to help the Nets get some easy points. Andre Drummond was good. Seth Curry was good. James Johnson was really good competing with Giannis. He made some nice plays down the stretch, as did Drummond. They also got the news that KD is going to be returning soon, it feels like. Maybe not these next couple of games, but he feels like he's on track for a return. He was joking with Bucks fans on the sideline. They told him, why don't you get a shoe that's 1 inch short? He had a laugh about that. You can tell everybody's feeling pretty good in Brooklyn. it feels like Kyrie's going to be playing home games come playoff time. Obviously, the vaccine stuff in New York is kind of hard to figure out. Apparently, Kyrie can now come and watch games, which I think is good. That'll be nice for him to get to spectate these games. But who knows what'll happen in a couple of months from now. But a positive weekend for the Nets, for sure.
Oh, man. The Kyrie highlights in this game against the Bucks are... That guy, you could put him in a straitjacket, and he would still give you a 25. He just operates in no space, like, or when there's like three, four, five guys, his own, other, the opposition. He just doesn't need any space to like maneuver it, and obviously still score. That was his best game, of course, here in a long, long time. It was the most where you were like, oh yeah, Kyrie. That's when you watch the game and you go, oh, you hear other players say, how the hell is Kyrie Irving not one of the 75 greatest players of all time? You hear that. Like, you know, there's multiple, like, current NBA players, former NBA players that are like, he should have been on that list. You know, he obviously didn't make it, but you're reminded of it when you see games like that. Like,
he's a two-handed player. He really is. Yeah. You know, like, either hand, dribbling, shooting, going inside, he can do it. He spins, he twists. He's very, very hard to keep down. And this was a legit win because in Milwaukee, of course, the Bucks were at full strength. You know, they weren't missing any of their major talent there, and they had to come back as well. It looked like early on it was going to turn into one of those routs almost, but big third quarter there, and then Kyrie closing it out. So, yeah, very impressive stuff.
So both of these organizations, Tass, just pumped that they made this deal here. Philly, Brooklyn, let's go.
Well, Ben Simmons ain't playing yet. That's a big part, and we'll get to his schedule, his plan here for the next couple weeks a little later in the show. But, yes, everybody jacked. I think a huge question with this Nets team, everybody at the top of this roster, Durant, Simmons, Kyrie, yes. Right. But also just the bench and the supporting cast. And Kevin Durant ran to the tunnel after this win, not playing. He's in his street clothes yelling, that's a Brooklyn Nets win right there. Because it felt like they are coming together, for sure. And the Dragic, I mean, if he can be, you know, like 80% of bubble Dragic. Dragic was really good in the bubble. He's a very talented player. He won't call Steve Nash his coach because that's too weird for them. And Nash finds it weird. Dragic finds it weird. But that he had that drive. He had that Eurostep scoop shot at the rim. And the camera panned to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons said, damn. You know, and that's Dragic's first game, his first minutes touching the ball.
I was going to say, he should be fresh.
Yeah, he hasn't played in months, but he's an oldie. And, you know, he pulled the Iguodala of a couple of years ago. He's pulling these moves of vets that want to stay fresh,
right,
like your Jimmy James Harden. And he is looking fresh. And, yeah, the Ben Simmons question, still a huge question. But if Durant's coming back, sure looks like Kyrie's going to be at least spectating and then playing in home games soon. That's going to happen. Yeah, there's questions, but they are being answered. But the window is closing for this team in terms of playing some games together.
Right.
Maybe,
right.
Perhaps. Yeah. But the supporting cast, back to them. Drummond, a huge block towards the end of the game on Giannis. And he is their best Giannis, you know, body in the way of the rim type guy.
Yeah.
And Seth Curry, and they're getting a team together at the very least.
I was just going to say, with the mask mandate, I believe that Kyrie and the Nets is under the private sector, which isn't going to be lifted soon, but the public one may be lifted in the next week or so by the mayor.
But then there's
Adams.
This possibility that they could pay the fines. And
yeah, but
play.
Apparently Adam Silver's not going to let
them do
that.
He's not going to allow that.
So
yeah, still.
Until that private sector mandate is lifted, I don't think he'll be playing in Brooklyn.
Right. Okay. We'll see. What about you? Who you got for a win?
Oh, man. Saturday night. What a game. Bulls, Grizzlies. Incredible game. I mean, this game had everything. This was a game. This was a real game of basketball. I mean, I'm going to start with the...
That's good, right? So this is a game... Bad.
You're
boring.
Right.
This is a real game of basketball.
That's good.
The highest compliment.
I mean, I'm going to start with just the sexiness because Ja Morant, hey, I mean, career high, 46 points. But, like, digging into that 46 points, I mean, he devoured Vucci. He really did devour him all night. He had an incredible 360 layup, the smoothest 360 layup. I don't know how compared to the one you guys were in person at. I think this one was sexier.
Ooh.
I think it was just...
It was like on a back cut.
Yeah.
That was the crazy part.
I think this one was sexier. The crazy part is my buddy Grish, our buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, saw both of these Ja Morant 360 yeah. layups in person.
Oh, really?
He saw the one in Memphis wow. when we did the road trip.
Wow.
And then he was in Chicago yeah. on Saturday night for this game. Well, and saw it.
And you saw
crazy.
It. DeMar DeRozan.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. It's crazy. But that's your buddy, Grish. He's a crazy guy.
Crazy.
It was crazy seeing that WhatsApp message come through. I saw both 360 layups live this year. Ha-ha. I like the ha-ha.
Anyway, there was that. Then he had the Chris Paul sort of... Hezzy dribble on the fast break, which yep. just broke down the defense. He had an oop in transition, which he was building up to from the backcourt sort of steal there. He had a Steve Nash with that one-handed, left-handed layup there. And he closed out the game when the Bulls made a huge shot. It looked like we were getting DeMar DeRozan, Chicago Bulls fourth quarter run here.
Yep.
DeRozan hit a couple. He hit a three. In fact, he got to the free throw line. It looked like it was all set up. Now, he did hit 31 points, but took him 29 shots. It was actually a bad offensive shooting performance, but I think a credit to that, the Grizzlies' defense, I thought, was pretty good. As good as it can be. He didn't have many of those uncontested looks that he gets. Mm-hmm. There was a guy at him pretty much every time. And he was also due to have a bad game. I mean, he's just due. He was on that Will Chamberlain numbers there. But the Grizzlies, doing all the things they've been doing this season, pounding the boards, really giving themselves a lot of second chance opportunities.
That's where the Bulls got destroyed.
In the fourth quarter, yeah. especially when it got close there. Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson, they're really contesting the ball. The points in the paint, they had 62, I believe it was. And that fourth quarter, just incredible. And I dug into the numbers a little bit to get super geeky here.
Okay.
Because Steven Adams was setting some incredible... Incredible.
Oh, don't do it.
Hit me.
Don't
some,
do it. Don't.
He was a dominant screen setter.
God. How many
Saturday
screen
night?
Assists do you think he had?
Let me see here. Ja Morant scored 15 baskets, so give me 10 screen assists.
11 he had.
Wow. What a game.
That led to 25 points. Now, I mean, and that was the thing. He was coming out, and Vucci was trying. He's just too slow. And again, Ja Morant, most people are. He was just like, I'm coming straight at you.
Yeah.
He might stop. He might hesitate. He might do whatever. They sent Zach LaVine over to sort of come and help out, and Ja Morant's like, okay, fine, I'll pass it. And Desmond Bane hits a big three. They just outclassed the Bulls in the end. I mean, it was a really, really impressive performance here on what was a great night. And I thought some really good defense. Even Kyle Anderson on the last play there with DeMar DeRozan. Mm. DeMar wasn't happy. I don't think he had a case. I don't think so.
I think
he
got him.
I think
like
he got ball.
Him up. Yep, ball.
And DeRozan got thrown out. Yeah. The game was, you know, over at that point anyway. But this is what you need on a Saturday night game. Awesome, awesome highlights. Real, real contest. The home team coming back, and you feel like they're going to overrun them here. And then the Grizzlies held firm, and I was just
and
so
my
impressed.
Buddy Grish in it.
Oh, and my buddy Grish. I mean, I wish I'd known that. I would have put that in my notes, maybe at the top. Got yeah.
And John, shout out to John.
Oh wow, what a great night.
Yeah,
but you know. Great game.
Great game.
Great game. Really fun stuff.
Great game.
I mean, usually when we put our winners in, you sort of look for a bigger story. And I thought, this was just an awesome display.
But here's the real test. Let's ask the Bulls fan. They ultimately lose this game. Was this still an entertaining, enjoyable Saturday night game of basketball? Or did it still suck because your team lost?
Hey, I'm a sicko, man. I can appreciate the Bulls losing to a quality team like the Memphis Grizzlies. I had Keith Parrish from the Daily Ding and Fast Break Breakfast trying to dunk on me. Oh, how can the Grizzlies possibly go into Chicago, the first place team in the Eastern Conference, and be a favorites? Well, the Grizzlies have a better record than the Bulls, and they're healthier than the Bulls, and they beat the Bulls earlier, and they're a terrible matchup because Steven Adams, honestly, like, he can dominate the game. He scored 12 points, which is a nice scoring night for Steven Adams. But the bigger number was 21 rebounds. JD, I didn't make a big beef. Ooh. Even though people were asking for it. What can I say? I was busy. Once my kids went to school, I got so much busier. I thought I was going to have way more time.
Oh, the mornings.
God, yeah. I got way more stuff to do in the mornings. Nonetheless, the screens were huge and the offensive rebounds were huge because Io's the only Bull who's healthy right now who has any chance of sticking with Ja Morant. But Steven Adams is such a great screen setter that he even knocks like Io off the path, right? So now you're talking about Ja Morant getting downhill against Vooch, and that's just not going to happen for Vooch. One thing I didn't like from Grish's messages, though, he said he saw Ja Morant's career high. Regular season. Yeah.
Ooh, right. Ooh, nice.
Which, I mean, fair enough. We do have to differentiate those. But I saw Ja Morant score 47 points less than a year ago.
Yeah, that's his career high.
That's his career.
Yeah. Hey, I agree with you.
That's weird.
I agree with you.
That's very weird.
No, but interesting on the defense there with Dosunmu, who did a really good job on Trae Young last week. Mm-hmm. So it figures like, okay, throw him on there. They tried Javonte Green. It's going to be different to see how Caruso and Lonzo Ball would defend. I think those guys obviously better. Speaking of Caruso, he had a pretty good game on the sideline there too. We made some notes. He was looking like Dr. Evil on the side. He was did a massive flex at one point where it was going crazy. And then he did the three sort of like slap himself on their head.
Mm.
I haven't seen that celebration before.
So a variation of Melo's
thing. But I wonder, it's like,
But almost a combo of when guys do the, guy gets dunked
exactly,
on the head.
Exactly.
What, are you worried about his brain cells?
Just wasn't quite sure what he was going for there. But hey, he had a pretty solid night in the sort of tie-dye sweater he had
he's
on.
He's looking like Taz a little bit,
exactly,
really.
I will say, a screen assist should only be given to a guy if the ball handler points to him after scoring.
Oh.
So Ja uses his screen, scores. Hey, man, great screen. That's when you get a screen
assist. I got
assist.
That at our pickup run 2 weeks ago. I set a nice screen. Guy came around in jumper, and he was hey, great screen. And I'm almost never setting screens.
Line.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, man.
Good screen. Yeah, thank you. I got ran over because I can't really set a screen, but I got in the way. No problem. Way to knock down that jumper, man.
Also, got to respect Ja Morant. Took to Twitter afterwards and said, I learned that Hezzy dribble at midcourt from CP3, and he tagged his ass. Love that. I love the young players respecting the elders.
Is that why a bunch of like young Chris Paul highlights started making the rounds on Twitter? And there was a bunch of like, you don't remember
forget.
How, yeah, people forget how dangerous young Chris Paul is. Maybe that was why, I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was a bunch of like awesome old Chris Paul highlights.
That's why Chris Paul has got a light trending.
Yeah, maybe. Yes, exactly.
I hate when people forget about Chris Paul. Like, who forgets about it? He's still playing. He's playing some of the best ball of his career.
No, he was a runner-up. What a problem he was.
He was runner-up MVP in 2008. I mean,
come on, we're old.
You didn't forget.
Yeah.
No, I know. I just, people say, people forget this guy was a problem. I saw it the same with Derrick Rose. It was a big thing going around for him. I don't know if it was his birthday or something. People forget.
Because you're old.
Yeah,
you know,
that's like a decade ago.
Yeah. People say they forget Derrick Rose was back. He was MVP.
Yeah.
You saw a lot of. I think you saw a lot of Derrick Rose highlights this weekend because they were playing in Chicago. Yes. Year three for Ja, year three for Rose, synergy. Winning the MVP. Maybe we should change it, though. People remember Derrick Rose. And then you see, like, his best highlights. You're like, oh, I do remember that. That was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, let's try that. I got a few winners here. The Utah Jazz deserve some respect here on this show. They played two of the top six teams in the Western Conference this weekend. They won both of them against the Mavericks on Friday. Donovan Mitchell hit a career-high 7 3-pointers. I don't know. I'd have to check the playoff stats with that. Maybe he has more in a playoff game.
Well, he probably did in the bubble.
He may have, yeah. But anyway, he scored 33 points. He was pretty instrumental in that win against the Mavericks. So it was a close game. Dallas put up one hell of a fight, but they got it done. And then on Sunday, it was the second game of the ABC doubleheader. And they beat Phoenix. And I know we'll get to the Suns playing without Chris Paul a little bit later, but just a really good quality Jazz win, and I mean that by like Mitchell doing his thing, Gobert obviously contributing in his ways, and then a bunch of other guys helping out. And in this one, it was Jordan Clarkson off the bench, 22 points, 10 of 17 shooting, key part there of that Jazz second unit. So good wins against two of the top six teams, like I said, in the West. And House Jr., I thought, did a really admirable job on trying to slow Devin Booker. Like, he was picking him up full court. You know, he's slipping screens. He's making him give up the ball multiple times, even if Booker would get it back at times. Booker still finished with 30. Mm. But it took 24 shots to get there, and it was still efficient. I mean, 50%, 12-24. But House Jr., like, in addition to Royce O'Neal, at least if you have another, because we talked about they need a wing guy in these playoff series to help try and slow the opposition. So if he's going to give you that effort at the very least, good stuff from him. Snyder also just, like, was like, oh, Whiteside's given us some stuff in this game. Let's go with him a little bit more. I thought he just coached a great game here. And the Jazz, if they hadn't lost that game to the Lakers right before the All-Star break, that would be a 9-game win streak. Mm. But, you know, they lost that one. But 8 of their last 9, these are big wins. They're still jockeying for position here in the Western Conference. So a little love to Utah. I don't have any notes on that.
Hassan Whiteside had an incredible sort of transition steal and then threw it down for a massive dunk. It was he's had an incredibly resurgent season.
Mm-hmm.
Been very, very good for the Jazz coming off the bench and just playing good minutes, rebounding the ball, showing the effort. Because that's been the biggest problem with him throughout his career, is just like half-hearted effort a lot of the time.
I've also got the Pelicans as a winner of the weekend. It's looking very likely they're going to be in the play-in here. You'll be shocked if they don't get in at this point. They killed the Lakers 123-95 last night. McCollum is averaging 28 points per game in his 7 games here with New Orleans. He had like a little stretch there in the third quarter when the Pelicans blew the doors off this game. That, you know, they just took over. They went on a 26-7 run. McCollum was chipping in like 9 or 10 of those. They're 6-4 in their last 10. You know, they've improved, if you want to call it that, to 25-36, I believe here. Without Zion Williamson, so they're going to be in the play-in here. The real question will be, will the Lakers? It's gotten that bad with them, and they're getting booed in their own barn. So
they were just throwing like 60-foot passes to nobody multiple times.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron had one where he just whipped it down the sideline. He had another one where he whipped it baseline to nobody. And then, of course, DeAndre Jordan threw it like 18 rows into the crowd. But what are you doing, Lakers?
My bad.
Yeah, you did.
I threw that one 40 feet too far. My bad.
You don't hear Lakers fans booing the Lakers all that often. That does not happen often. I know it happens in Philly. And, you know, the Celtics will get on their team and stuff like that. Lakers fans booing the Lakers? That... few and far between that I can remember, Tass.
They just don't care enough to boo.
Maybe. They were rightfully booing this team yesterday.
To get blown out like that, they lose two games this weekend to teams that they could face in the play-in tournament with the Clippers on Friday, which was a winnable game for them.
Yeah. Watch that one.
And then the Pels, they got blasted. I was going to try and refrain from talking about them too much because... Yeah, it's just hard to watch this team. This last quarter of the season, I still don't think they fall out of the play-in tournament picture. And I hope...
The Lakers, yeah.
Yes. Just because of what's going down outside the play-in tournament with the Blazers, you know, losing a bunch of their guys and Lillard out and your Nurkic out and then the Spurs, Kings. It doesn't seem like they're going to fall out of the play-in picture. And then they get Anthony Davis back. And that's why I'm hoping for the Grizzlies... to jump up to the 2 seed. And I'm going off the board here talking about the Pels. But I want the Grizzlies to jump up to the Warriors spot and take that 2 seed to face a team, you know, like the Lakers or the Pelicans in the first round rather than facing a good team like the Mavs or the Nuggets.
Right, okay.
You know,
okay.
You know, like,
so you want the Grizzlies to have a chance to win a first round
I want them to have a really legitimate chance. They could beat the Mavs or the Nuggets, but the Nuggets... You know, there's reports that Michael Porter Jr. will be back shortly, and then maybe even Jamal Murray back shortly. So you want a first round matchup with a team that has gone to a conference finals? That would stink. Rather than a team like the Lakers that could give the Grizzlies trouble because they do get a lot of offensive boards. If the Lakers come back with Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard there, I mean, that will be a bit of a negating factor, I think, for the Grizzlies. They just throw it up there. They're more athletic than teams. But anyways, I think they could blast through the first round if they play a team like the Lakers. I'm hoping for that.
If they play one of the play-in teams, basically, is what you're getting at.
Yeah, rather than a Mavericks or Nuggets team. I'm cheering for them to jump up to the Warriors spot. And it's only a game and a half right now, two in the last column. They could easily do that with the Warriors.
Well, the debate Trey and I were having here in the Classic Factory before you guys showed up this morning was, when does LeBron just shut it down in this season? Does he? Does he just say, I'm good. We're not doing anything. This team stinks. See you later. See you next year. But then I pushed back to Trey sort of thinking that. I was like, well, he needs all the points he can. He is chasing down some legends there in Karl Malone. And
isn't he? Doesn't he already hold the record, or is that still on?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Not the one that actually counts. Okay. But we'll see. It will be fascinating to watch.
316 points from tying Karl Malone for second on the all-time list. So that's 10 or 11 games.
Let's call it 10 to 15 games.
Then it's nap time.
Oh, you think he'll wait till then?
I think the only thing there is, if it looks like he's quitting on them, that's just going
to... Like what? What's he going to do? Like, show up to a game drinking a glass of wine? No way. That'd be ridiculous, right?
If he plays in a game drinking a glass of wine, no way he would do that.
I think if... just the way everything's gone, I just don't think he can say, I'm also out with 10 games to go or whatever. I just don't think he will. Maybe. I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, they...
I don't know.
They probably think...
You never know when the groin's going to start acting
certainly up. While they're still in the plane. And again, it's almost impossible for them to drop out of the play-in completely.
Yeah, it's sort of up to the Spurs at this point, because I think that Tass is right. I think the Blazers are going to be out of here in a hurry, and that's because of injuries, especially the Nurk one. And the Kings, you can't put any fucking trust in the Kings. Throw them off. Don't worry about them. Who cares? It's the Spurs. It'd be the Spurs' likelihood of catching, or even if they want to catch a Lakers team. Yeah. So you're probably right. They probably will be in there by default.
Yeah, and it's funny when you look at the standings, like, well, maybe this team can jump in the play-in tournament. All those teams are 10 games below 500.
Right.
So that means they have to win a lot of games. Then they haven't done that all season long.
Like, I almost caught myself when I said the Pelicans record. I was right when I said
25-36.
I was like, and they're going into the
postseason.
No, they're right.
But yeah, they are a different team with CJ McCollum balling out, and apparently him and Brandon Ingram had a conversation and said, we got to be more accountable ourselves.
We've heard about like every conversation CJ McCollum has and hasn't had since showing up in New Orleans. Have you talked to Herb Jones yet?
Oh, yes, he has. Yes.
I know he's talked to Valanciunas.
He's the players' part union of the president. So he's,
oh, yeah, he's talked to every player. He's going to check in, man. That's a great point.
King of the check-in.
Any other winners that we wanted to slip in here before we take a first break?
I'll squeeze one in. The Cavs specifically, their starting shooting guard, Isaac Okoro, because he's a shooting guard that doesn't shoot, and he is cool with that. He went out on Saturday against the Wizards, and Kyle Kuzma, white hot throughout the game. He had 30 points going into the fourth quarter, and he only scored 6 in the fourth quarter with Isaac Okoro on him because Okoro prides himself. I'm playing defense. I don't need to be an offensive player. And the Cavs have to be extremely happy with that. This is a guy in year 2, number 5 pick, that, you know, at this point of his career could be saying, I was a number 5 pick. I want more on my plate. But with Darius Garland and even Caris LeVert now in the backcourt, and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, like all those guys have their own thing going on. But the culture is so good that Isaac Okoro can take a backseat, and he just fits in well. It's an incredible culture. And then after the game, Coach JB Bickerstaff put the Junkyard Dog chain on Isaac Okoro. And he said, I love it. He went and put photos up on Instagram of himself in this Junkyard Dog chain.
I didn't know they had this.
Yeah, they do, because that's what he does. he took so many photos. He
cool
does a huge little roulette of 7 different photos of him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he was really proud to wear this, James.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, Garland's the ball handler. He's the all-star. Evan Mobley is coming on as this unicorn-type big who can do it all. Jared Allen is doing his thing. Caris LeVert, again, another ball handler. But this guy is exactly what they need on the wing, being a defensive type stopper. And yeah, it just amazes me every single thing about the Cleveland Cavaliers, how everything's just fitting in perfectly. And a guy's wearing a chain, and it ain't a $100,000 chain. It's
yeah,
just,
you can tell.
Yeah,
they need to beef up the chain. It looks like it's made out of paper clips.
But he's a Junkyard Dog.
I think that's
man.
Maybe that's the point of it, though. It's like
No, a Junkyard Dog would have a much thicker chain.
Okay, well, I get what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
It's sort of Hercules-like, wasn't it?
It's the same.
No, the actual chain is too small. It needs
that
to be a thicker
like
a, link.
Okay. That looks
style
like one
is
of the
right,
chains.
Just thicker. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like on a farm, the gate that you just put around.
Yeah,
so it's
right. Yeah.
But we need the another One Bites the Dust music underneath that, you know, because that's what the JYD used to come out to in wrestling. Back when I was in the WWF.
You were in?
Into it.
Oh.
He came out to another One Bites.
Yeah.
Wow.
Him and Tito Santana, the Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. Or just Intercontinental Champion. I don't know.
No, the Tag Team Champion.
You should have stopped while you were in, man.
Yeah, Intercontinental Heavyweight Tag Team Champion.
All right, so a little Okoro love there.
I've got both those action figures.
Oh, yeah?
Bring them.
Tito.
I've got to go JYD. Cause
I got to go JYD.
I dressed up as him for like a school dress-up day once as the JYD. But
wow.
He had the white pants.
I
had like cream just like jeans, and that was all he could do.
What a dress.
No one knew who I was.
Well, I'll tell you what you're going to be doing during the break. Texting Dickie and, hey, can we get a photo of
Dickie,
young
send
Lee?
Me the picture of my cream jeans.
Which ones? I'll say the ones when you run your honeymoon? all right. We got to take a break. We're going long here. But when we come back, we'll get to losers of the NBA weekend. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, Offering outdoor outfits or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
AG baby baby.
It was all a greens.
Nice. All right. We've done winners of the NBA weekend. Let's get to losers. Lee, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to last night's late game, Dallas and Golden State. Warriors look like they're in control after three quarters, up big. And then all of a sudden, it fell apart. And this was a huge win here, a huge comeback here for the Dallas Mavericks, because they did most of the heavy lifting with Luka Doncic on the bench in that four on the bench.
Yeah, put in some the, saliva in your mouth.
Yeah. In that fourth quarter there, they came back. They went on a 23-1. I think it's 23-1 or 26. My computer just died, which was great. I left my note here.
I thought it was like 26-1.
Yeah, so anyway, whatever it was there, the Warriors offense. Now, there was no Clay. He's out. Yeah. Draymond is still out, so they miss him. But they still had Steph, obviously. And Steve Kerr has been criticized a bit this morning because, honestly, their offense looked like it really didn't have a whole lot of flow to it or organization. They were just going down. Andrew Wiggins had a couple of step backs, and Jordan Poole was out there, Damian Lee firing away. And the Mavericks just picked them apart. And it was Spencer Dinwiddie who did a lot of the good work there. Again, at the first half of that fourth quarter, hitting threes, getting inside, scoring without any resistance. The Warriors have the best defensive efficiency. You wouldn't think so watching this game last night there. And then Doncic came out. I think Jason Kidd kept him on the bench a little longer than normal simply because that second unit was doing such a great job. Then Doncic came out and closed out the game with another impressive 31-point performance. So this was a huge comeback win here for the Mavs on the road against a very good team after losing a close one on Friday night against the Utah Jazz. And when you again look at, you evaluate that trade, and they got Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans in return for Porzingis. It was more to be like, someone just take Porzingis. But you saw that Dinwiddie, in the right situation, can be very helpful. And I think this is, again, maybe the Mavs thought about this more so, but the fact they've got another guy who can handle the ball and create for himself is what they've been really missing. You know, Brunson's okay at it. He's a different sort of guard than Spencer Dinwiddie. Mm-hmm. But I thought the fact that Dinwiddie got an opportunity there, especially with Doncic on the bench, to say, I can get us some points. I can keep our offense moving, because that's what's been missing a lot. So great stuff by him. And Davis Bertans, we know he fires away. On the call last night, there was a dead ball, and it rolled to Davis Bertans, and he fired away. And Vince Carter on the call said, Davis Bertans still just firing away, just getting the ball up, even when it's a dead ball. So that's what he does. He didn't hit too many in the fourth quarter for them. But overall, pretty impressive stuff from the Mavs.
Yeah, but he's in, what, the four games he's played for Dallas, Bertans has hit 3 3-pointers, then he had one. He had a 1-for-7 game, but then 5-for-8 in the loss to the Jazz, and then 2-for-6 in the victory last night. That's better than what he was doing for Washington, which was nothing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely offers most of the time. So, yeah, he is contributing. Anything to add to the Warriors' meltdown there, though, Tass? I mean, it's weird in a fourth quarter when you are one of the better teams in the league. Yes, you're missing some guys, but to give up a 26-1 run is embarrassing, honestly.
Yeah, the Warriors' 13-point fourth quarter. That ain't Warrior basketball. They obviously missed Draymond Green. Haven't had him for a couple months. Good news in that he is on the floor practicing for the first time. He was in a 5-on-0, so that doesn't mean he's, you know, in full contact mode. But he should be back shortly, hopefully, for them, because, yeah, they desperately miss him. I think if he's on the floor, they do not lose this game. He just keeps their intensity up. And that's why they have the best defense in the league, but it ain't the best defense without Draymond Green. They're just a totally different team. And Steve Kerr says it after every game. Yeah, the stats say we're the best defense in the league, but it ain't anywhere close to the best defense right now. And yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie was the guy who came out off the bench and was just their number one option in the fourth quarter for a while while Doncic was out. And he schooled things, for sure. And Bertans, at least he's running around and being a threat out there around the arc. You know, he won't step inside that arc. He doesn't need to. But at least, yeah, kind of have to keep your eyes on him. He's got a bit of a gravitational pull right now if he's pulling every time he touches the ball. That helps. But the Warriors, I'm hoping the Grizzlies steal their spot at the two spot because the Warriors can get dropped to three and win a couple playoff series. They can get to the finals. But, Draymond, stay out for a bit. The Grizz got to take that two seed. We got to drive to Memphis and watch a team in the playoffs in the first round and maybe the second round. I think that gives the Grizzlies their best chance. And the Grizzlies have the tiebreaker with the Warriors, too.
Well, Ghostface Ziller has the perfect segue to Trey's Losers of the Weekend because he wrote, TK, brutal loss for the Warriors just as the Suns start to falter here for the first time in a long time. So, you know, I know they're very far behind, but the Phoenix Suns losing some games here in large part due to no Chris Paul.
I'm glad to hear that, Skeets. I hadn't got around to the Ziller newsletter yet, but I was feeling like this was a little bit of a weak loser here. The Phoenix Suns, you know, they've only got 12 losses on the year. Two of them came this weekend. Hate to do it to you, but you got to take a loser of the weekend when you lose back-to-back games here. But like you're saying, kind of no harm done with the Warriors blowing their lead last night, so they're able to stay quite far ahead in the race for the one seed in the Western Conference. And it still honestly should be Phoenix unless this turns out to be a problem having no Chris Paul, because it's been a tough start to the season or to this part of the season with no CP3 for the Suns. They took care of business on Thursday against OKC, no problem. They lost on the second night of a back-to-back Friday versus the the Pelicans on Friday, and then they lost again yesterday against the Jazz. It's only the third time this season they've lost consecutive games, and the second game came on the 27th of the month every single time. That's just weird. So hopefully they don't have to play a game on the 27th in the playoffs. But two things in both of these losses stick out to me. One of them, not worried about at all. One of them, a little bit worried. The one I'm not worried about, late game execution ain't what it is when Chris Paul is on the court. They look like a team that's played one way in the clutch for two straight seasons, and now they're having to figure it out on the fly without CP3 making all the decisions there. You saw that crazy Jay Crowder pass yesterday. That could have been a Lakers pass, how far off it was. Afterwards, he's like, I'll be better. I think you will be. Like, literally just pass it to him. Or, you know, weird. Chris Paul could have called a timeout. Devin Booker could have called a timeout. Monty Williams wanted to call a timeout, but things were moving too fast. I think the Suns will figure out how to win close games, even without Chris Paul, which will honestly be beneficial long-term. The thing that's more concerning to me, though, is the rebounding. New Orleans and Utah, both solid offensive rebounding teams, and they both smashed the Suns on the boards. New Orleans had 16 offensive rebounds. The Jazz had 14. You compare that to DeAndre Ayton. He had 12 rebounds combined in these two losses, 5 on Friday night, 7 yesterday. Heard this on the Saturday Slam and Jam podcast. One of the greats out there. It's honestly DeAndre Ayton's time to step up with Chris Paul out. This guy wants a max contract. He did score 20 a game in both of these losses. He shot over 70% from the field, but you just need to feel him more. Like, he just needs to dominate the glass, especially against a guy like Valanciunas and Gobert, who are both going to be competitive inside. He needs to really, he really own the paint. But yeah. The Warriors lost, so not that big of a deal, but there's some things to be worried about for kind of the first time ever with the Suns this season.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we can say that. Anything to add to that? Or I know you're not concerned like Trey. Overall, they'll have the one seed. Hopefully Chris comes back.
Chris comes back, I think, is a big one. You know, I just believe that he'll be back, but who the heck knows, really? I mean, it is really bumping up against the end of the regular season. And so he's just so important. And just to keep things together, because that Jay Crowder pass at the end there, that doesn't happen if Chris Paul and Devin Booker are sharing the backcourt and they can pass it back and forth to one another. And so instead it goes to Jay Crowder and then it goes to the people paying a lot of dollars in the second row, because that was a wild, wild pass. So that's my biggest concern. The rebounding concern, sure. I get that, but I don't know. Chris just keeps everything together when he's out there. So I'm still optimistic, and they're 6 games up on the Warriors. I don't think it's going to be a problem, but, you know, sometimes when you have these issues, it's good. It's a good little thing to be dealing with adversity, because when you win and you're still not great on the boards, then you can just say, yeah, we're still winning. So this is something that they can, right the ship here with 6 weeks left.
Any thoughts here on Phoenix?
No, just echoing what Ty said there, this is actually a good test for Phoenix now. how are you going to handle it without Chris Paul there? Because the Pelicans have been playing really well, and the Jazz, you know, we know they're a better team than perhaps their record shows right now. So that was good competition for them this weekend, and they didn't pass it. So you have to sort of figure things out, because you can't be so heavily reliant on Chris Paul that it's like you're a championship contender with him, and without him, anyone could sort of beat us. So we'll see how they handle these next few games here down the stretch.
All right, my loser of the weekend, I hate to do it, but I got to. It's the Toronto Raptors.
Absolutely.
Raps played two games over the weekend, okay? And these were the two headlines on Sportsnet by our good friend Michael Grange. First one, inexplicably, Raptors look terrible in blowout loss to the Hornets. Followed up with, suddenly and shockingly, the Raptors look absolutely lost. Uh-oh. It was bad. The Hornets beat them by 32 on Friday, and then the Hawks beat them by 27 on Saturday. I was ecstatic that I forgot Toronto was in town on the weekend here in Atlanta. I probably would have gone down to the game and watched it, you know? Had my Raps gear on. Maybe we would have gone together. It slipped my mind. I didn't realize they were here.
Same.
On the schedule, probably coming right after the All-Star break. But I'm glad I didn't go. I'm glad we didn't go, Tass, because we got booed out of the building. And all that, those Hawks fans. They would have been all over us.
You might have shown up on the Hawks Bros account leaving early.
Yeah, maybe.
Look at the no-dunks guys walking probably, out third quarter.
And I probably would have. Look, one of the calling cards of this team is how hard they compete. And it wasn't there in these games. They rolled over pretty early and sort of waved the white flag. Now, no OG. He's pretty instrumental to this team. He's not the guy that goes gets you 25 or 30, but he's obviously a great defender. He chips in offensively. He is that just sort of perfect guy that you plug in there and just steadies a rotation. He's gone, and I believe he's getting word from a specialist regarding his finger. We'll see how serious it is. I think he's got a fracture there in his ring finger on his shooting hand, so we'll find out. But you had Fred VanVleet. He's a little hobbled here. Didn't play a whole lot in the All-Star game.
Eight minutes. Had to shoot in that three-point contest. Yeah, but right. He's not right.
No. And
he's questionable for Monday's game against the Nets.
And he probably shouldn't play. But this is bad. These were bad losses, of course, to two teams that the Raptors are like competing with here when you look at the standings in the Eastern Conference standings. I mean, they're a couple games back from the Celtics, who are still cooking here, despite, I guess, losing to Indiana there on Sunday, if I have that right. So that was a good win from Indiana. But they're only a little bit up on the Nets. You got the Hornets and the Hawks, two teams they just lost to, right on their tails. So these were bad, bad. Remember in early February, the Raptors were the hottest team in the league. And suddenly, like Grange is writing here, getting cranked. I mean, this should have been like two 30-point losses, really.
Yeah, and I just wonder if those minutes that Fred has played are becoming a factor, because he looks like he's a bit slower out there, and that can potentially be what happens when you play all those heavy minutes early on. Just get these niggling injuries that weigh up, and you just don't have the same legs. So interested to see what Nick Nurse does. That I don't think he should play at all either tonight. I would rest
him. Sit him.
But
he doesn't look right.
The more concern is just how easily, especially the Hawks. I mean, Trae Young had easy 41 points and 11 assists without lighting them up from downtown as well. So, you get smoked by 20-plus in both games. There's a concern there.
This is the losses marked the first time in 10 years that Toronto had lost consecutive games by 20 points. That's wild. Again, that stat coming from Michael Grange there with Sportsnet. Crazy. So they had to be a loser of the weekend, Tass. We had to do it to them.
Fred is definitely the worrisome part.
Yeah.
Plays a lot of minutes. He is. They're heart and soul in terms of just bailing them out all the time. And then whenever there was a whistle, he just looked like he couldn't move all that well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just looked like he was stiff. And he talked about that week that going into the All-Star game, how physically he wasn't feeling right. That's why I tried to pawn him off you when we were doing our three-point contest draft. I said, you take him because the knee ain't right. And he said he would feel so much better if he did rest through that week. So he's very important. Yeah, Pascal, has carried the load in terms of being the secondary ball handler. He's been amazing at that. But, they have like a quarter of a Fred out there and no OG on this team that is, fairly top-heavy in that they don't go deep. So it stinks. Let's see some Malachi Flynn out there tonight. I'm a Malachi fan, even if he isn't...
He hasn't been very good.
No, he has not been very good. There's some flashes, but it's about to. They need to rest him.
They have back-to-back games here versus the Brooklyn Nets, the Raps.
Yeah, as you said, who in are Brooklyn chasing them.
Yeah, right. So these are big, big games here, and it's not looking good, and they have a slim margin when they even are healthy, really. The truth is with this Raptors team, and now you got these injuries to their guys, it's not looking good. What about you, Tass? Who you got for a loser of the weekend?
Well, I'm going to say it's us.
Huh?
Yes, because we were thinking about going to Philadelphia. The Brooklyn Nets would be venturing into Philadelphia, their first game on March 10th after the huge trade. But I don't think we're going because Shams Charania of The Athletic reported this weekend that Nets star Ben Simmons, I'll quote Shams here, Nets star Ben Simmons is dealing with back soreness in reconditioning process that requires further strengthening of the area over a period of time before return to action. I said all those words because I wanted to quote Shams. Really, what this is saying is sore back, not returning anytime soon. And I think he's going to need a few games under his belt. He's going to want a few games under his belt before playing the Sixers again on March 10th. I got to believe that. And he's just going to want to be on the court for a couple games. If you look at the schedule here, they have, as we said, two games against the Raptors, Monday, Tuesday, as we record here, today and tomorrow. Obviously not playing in those games. Thursday against the Heat, not playing in that game. Because if he's injured and he has back soreness, the first game I think he could return for could be Sunday, but I don't think that's even happening. And then there's only one game before the Sixers game, which is Tuesday. So I just highly doubt he's playing, and I highly doubt No Dunks is taking their business trip to go see Ben Simmons play against the Philadelphia 76ers for the first time, because I don't think he is playing.
I would add to that I highly doubt he has a back injury.
Interesting. I mean, but what about just not having played for a year and a half, and you go run? You know,
supposed to be working out 6 days a week and getting himself ready? You talk about these games. There's only 21 regular season games to go. There's not that much time for him. He's going to miss, by the sounds of it here, a minimum of 10 of these, which gives him potentially 10 to get back and then the playoffs. So I think it's not beyond the realm of possibility that we actually don't even see him.
The real question I think I heard...
That would be wild.
I don't know about the back injury. Maybe it's legit, maybe it's not, but if he's still weeks away from he hasn't been doing 5-on-5. I thought we heard that last week from Steve Nash. So you figure he's got to get over the injury first, then he's got to get to a position where he's doing 5-on-5, and then they've got to get him in. There might only be, by that point, 4 or 5 games of the regular season. Do you want to bring him in and then bring him to the playoffs? Maybe. I'm not sure, though.
I think an interesting question. Let's just say, hypothetically, that he is healthy and, you know, he is good to go and play basketball because he's been off for a while. He's very fresh, actually. Would it be smart for the Nets organization to rip the Band-Aid off and have him play in Philadelphia, not only so you guys can make the trip there and really enjoy the game, give us some great content, or, in fact, no, you avoid that game like the plague. You know, he has the mental issue, the mental hurdle that he has to get over with the Philadelphia crowd and all that. We know that would be a thing that would happen there, but you actually don't bring him back for that game. And yeah, maybe you play him you see them in the playoffs, and you got to cross that bridge when you cross that bridge. But you don't do that, because I think that's an interesting debate. If again, that's what's really going on here, Trey. Do you just say, hey, at some point, man, you're going to have to do it, so just do it now on March 10th, or no? What, we don't want to do that. We don't want to, like, you know, add a wrench to this plan of even getting him back here. What do you think?
I think Ben Simmons didn't want to play in front of the Philly fans when he played for Philly, so I think it's highly unlikely they will start him his first game in Philadelphia as an opponent. I thought the second Shams update was also very interesting. He says it's uncertain whether the three-time All-Star will clear return-to-play hurdles for the Nets' March 10 return trip to Philadelphia. Mm. That, to me, is the Nets kind of like setting the stage. He's going to miss this game.
Yes.
We're even putting a date out there. We don't know if he's going to be back. Yes. And honestly, it's probably the smart decision. They should go as slow as they possibly can. Just say, hey, watch what James Johnson is doing. Watch what Bruce Brown is doing. That's all we need from you this season. We'll build you up next year to be a full part of this team. You're going to be a role player this year, and see what he can actually give them. Because I went on a date with my wife on Friday night. Started talking about this potential trip, and then I explained, like, everything that's happened with Ben Simmons since the playoffs last year. Wow. I mean, we were on a date for like an hour and a half, and we talked about Ben Simmons for an hour.
brutal.
But the tacos were great.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it just seems unlikely that they're going to be like, Yeah, you're healthy. I agree. He hasn't played in the NBA for a long time, so he certainly needs to get his conditioning up to snuff, and it probably isn't, but he probably could get there in time if he really wanted to, but it ain't going to happen. He's going to come back against the Knicks. It's a home game. That's an easy game.
Yep.
Play against the Knicks. You're going to look good.
Yeah, and then it's 14 or 15 games that they have left. And
that's enough.
It's enough for
hold on. Does this not worry you, though?
Yep.
I mean, at some point, you're going to have to play Philadelphia. Probably.
Maybe in the playoffs.
Maybe not this year, though.
but maybe they do. Yes. And it's a possibility that they would match up in a first-round playoff series, maybe a second-round series. So my point is, let's say you're going to play them. Would you rather this happen in a playoff game where you got to face the Boo Birds and you got to face the music a little bit? Or would you just do it now and sort of get it over with and then get on with the rest of the season, get your reps in, and then the playoffs are the playoffs? I mean, that's an interesting question to me, and I can be convinced both ways that no, don't do that because the guy hasn't even played with this team really yet, or yeah, do it because you are a basketball player. You're going to get booed in Philly. Take it on the chin and let's go. And then let's go shut them up and let's go try and win a championship. I mean, which one do you side on? It sounds like you side with these guys. Well, I'm like, maybe don't play.
He's not ready to play. Shams, and it's not leaked to Shams over this weekend about the future here, about 12 days in the future, because he's anywhere close ready to play. He just is not ready to play. These two tweets, the follow-up tweet there from Trey, that Trey mentioned there, it's an indicator that there ain't any chance he's playing on March 10th.
Oh, I agree with you guys.
Zero
because they're adding the back injury into this. You could have just went with the reconditioning, but then people would have been said, what do you mean? March 10th is still... a week and a half away.
I know.
So you can get your conditioning up, but they add that back part. And then you're right. They're even talking about the date.
They doubled down, baby.
Sources are.
He retweeted his own tweet.
He's not coming back. Yeah.
There's zero chance. That's the unfortunate part, is that he's just not ready to play. And yes, he's a basketball player. When is it going to happen?
That's the thing. The trade happened 3 weeks ago. He said he was staying fit and healthy and working out. So why isn't he playing?
Oh, this is...
It's an unprecedented situation.
Like James Harden, he was also out, but he's back. Yes. And he's been looking great. I mean, I don't know about the back injury. Who knows if it's real or not? And maybe it is part of the reconditioning. But if you were keeping yourself in great physical shape and it's been 3 weeks and now you're sort of behind schedule, what was he doing it? Mm-hmm. That's the question. I mean, he obviously wasn't keeping himself ready. If a little bit of conditioning work has gotten him an injured back already. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like he was lifting weights.
But people saying he has the back injury because he hasn't been playing basketball.
Yeah, but he said he was keeping himself in shape.
I know, man. I'm
so
with
it's weird. Because
he's ducking the game.
That's right.
Well, we don't need to pussyfoot around this. That's what he's doing. And that's a little alarming, maybe.
It is.
Because I thought the opposite was going to happen. And we had this debate, I remember, before the trade. I said, no, he's going to get traded. And then he's going to go, you know what? You don't think you threw me under the bus after I didn't take a shot because I didn't do this in the playoffs. Well, F you, watch this. I thought he was going to take that approach. Yeah. And you, it appears rightfully, were saying, I don't know if he's wired that way.
I just don't know how he says to Kevin Durant, I'm not playing in Philadelphia. And Kevin Durant's like...
That's what I'm saying.
I know. Hey, I was called Cupcake. People dressing up as cupcakes when I went back to OKC. And I left as a free agent after taking them to the finals.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving, he's played in hostile environments where he's left teams. I mean, you can't just not play because you're like, I just don't want to play that game.
Kyrie actually dodged a lot of those games, too.
Yeah, but who?
He didn't play.
He dodged a lot of Cleveland games, for sure.
Yeah. Well, he was always not playing. Remember?
But he's played, but he's playing there now. I mean, but anyway, look, your first game, you can't just be like, no thanks.
I think the reason why you thought that he would come out and play against the Sixers is because... This is the first time I think you can ever point to a situation like this. I mean, I just don't think this has happened before.
Right.
So usually a basketball player, under contract to play, plays. I mean, not usually. 99.9999999999% of the time. That's why you expected him. After he was dealt, he got what he wanted to be on the court.
100%.
And the whole, will he play if Kevin Durant plays, I think, is another factor. He sure seemed like... According to reports, if KD was out there, that he was going to play. Now KD is going to return.
This week,
I mentioned the games. Yeah, unlikely today or tomorrow. But yes, Thursday or Sunday. So if he was tied to him then he could play and have plenty of time to be at a close to 100% for the Philadelphia game. So that's surprising to me. If KD comes back and Ben still isn't ready to play, I mean, that just speaks to everything that's going on with Ben Simmons. Because it's an unprecedented situation, you know, it's the mental health issues. There's a lot that we don't know about, obviously, that he's dealing with, because this has not been seen in the NBA before. This is just... it's one of a kind.
Yeah. A couple other just mini losers of the weekend. I got to do it. I got to give it to the Hornets, because they're now 0-6 in overtime games this season, because they lost to a Kelly Olynyk fadeaway baseline jumper in overtime at the buzzer as the Pistons beat them 127-126. I mean, these are six losses. Even if you win three of these, you split your overtime games here, you know, you're feeling a lot better about your play-in chances and getting in the playoff picture and all that. I know they're still there and they could still make it, but man, this is... this is bad. These are just bad, bad losses, and it keeps happening. Just so, sorry, Charlotte fans, got to do it to you. And then, just I'll slip this in here. We don't need to do 10 minutes on it, but Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley telling the world. I mean, here's the Post headline. Charles Oakley. Giannis would have been a bench player when I played. And he said this on a podcast, and I don't know if he's got a book coming out or something like that, but it's like... I don't think that's true. I don't think this is true.
Giannis was only born in 1992.
Oh, you're saying he's taking it very literally.
Right, he would have been 3 years old when he was playing. So, you know, baby. Yeah,
he's just a baby.
So,
yeah,
you're not starting a three-year-old, I wouldn't think, in the NBA. Right. Maybe.
At least coming off the bench.
Maybe, yeah.
He said, full quote here, this is what Oakley said.
94.
So, phew, yeah.
Again, this is Oakley talking about Giannis. He wouldn't have been a force back in the day. He would have struggled. They would make him shoot jump shots. He wouldn't be doing a Euro step to the basket. Somebody's going to knock his head off. He'd come off the bench back in the day. I just, like, I know this happens all the time. The old farts say, oh, back in my day, you wouldn't have been able to get away with this. But it is weird that, like, of all the guys you're going to pick Giannis, the guy that plays... some of the most physical basketball, I would think. I don't think I'm going out on a limb here. Like, in today's game, I think he would have fit in just fine.
One guy he's compared to all the time is young Shaq, who made the top 50 players of all time after four seasons.
I don't get this. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, look, Giannis, I guess, defensive player that he is, so maybe Charles Oak thinks he's not a good offensive player. But he's got two MVPs, a championship, finals MVP, 50 points in Game 7. What did he shoot? 17 for 19 from the free throw line. I think Giannis would be okay if Charles Oakley was matched up on him. Honestly.
I think so too.
Honestly. Yeah, I know Charles is a physical guy. He's got a reputation for being a tough guy. Giannis would just do that gigantic step around him and just lay it up.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't have done that. He would have got knocked blocked off.
I do like the idea. He's like, he wouldn't have done the Euro step because it hadn't been invented yet. No, that one's been he would have no moves.
Anyway.
I'll throw in a quick mini loser for you, Skeets. One of my favorite lines of the year, Jalen Suggs. Six fouls and six turnovers in 15 minutes. He made one shot from the field, and it was a oop off the glass to himself.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. 3 points, 1 of 5 shooting, went 1 for 2 from the line, 6 fouls, 6 turnovers, and still threw an oop to himself.
Did Ricky Davis ever do that even?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's a
very
great question.
Ricky Davis-like line and move there, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, a few players have fouled out faster as starters than 15 minutes. Right. That was pretty close. I think he was the third fastest foul out for
a
starter.
I think Dwight's up there with that. Yeah.
Oh, and so to go back to this, Simmons maybe playing March 10th. You guys are not going to Philadelphia? Still questionable.
Questionable. What happens if he says, you know what, I'm fine, the back's good, I'm going.
Oh, man, what a middle finger to you guys.
Well, I'm ready.
If he does, if you're like, okay, by all reports, he's not going to play, and then like... 24 hours before the game. 8 hours before the game.
I'm ready.
I'm playing.
I've got my Sixers starter jacket ready. I pulled that out of the closet. I've got my the answer.
Already packed.
I've got my the answer.
We may not go to.
The answer sweatband ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Are you flying in that old girlfriend into the game?
I don't think so. Oh,
okay.
Oh, that would be a great surprise.
That would be pretty cool.
I've got my Allen Iverson shoes as well ready to go. I've got full Sixer for that game.
I don't think he's playing.
That's why I'm like, I'm so bummed. When
I'm at Iverson.
He'll probably be there, though.
Okay, let's take our final break when we come back. Pick 'em results, really, for the month of February. That's a wrap, and we'll get to Tweet of the Night. JD. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Lily, what do you got, man?
Yeah. Monday tweet, you know, you've got the whole weekend to find a good one. Couldn't do it. But thanks to you, actually, Skeetsy, because you gave me the tip for this one. It came in from Alexis Morgan, who tweeted about this. She said, "This is the most out-of-pocket thing I've ever read, Shaq, at Shaq." Because Shaq apparently, according to Gary Payton, he used to use the bathroom in bucket and pour it on rookies.
Yeah.
That's gross. That's absolutely disgusting.
There's no way that happened.
And that's the thing. You couldn't do that.
So he had
Why couldn't you do
Someone
that?
Someone would just say, like, that's like stepping over the line, you know.
That's Shaq. You're a rookie. It was the 90s, man. Yeah, it was a different time. You could take a piss in a bucket and pour it on someone. You know, now everybody's, oh, don't do that. Can't have a good LARP anymore.
Well, it's, I mean, you know, it's. Would you like that?
No, God, it'd be horrible.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, it was a bucket for a week. Like, he kept the bucket for a week. If I was reading the story correctly.
Like, that's somehow worse. I don't know why.
Of course it's worse.
Yeah.
That's not worse.
It's not.
Nah.
What? It's better to have one.
Like, is this a like bucket a full of Sir Foster?
I'm guessing, yeah.
This is piss.
Okay. Yeah, it's a week full of excrement.
I just wanted to make sure.
You think it's no feces?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
This is a piss bucket from Shaq.
Okay. I mean, that's a little. Oh, God. That's horrible.
See, for me, it's like.
It's bad.
One drop of Shaq piss. Uh-huh. No different than a million drops of Shaq piss.
Right.
Any of it's bad.
Okay. Right.
So I would rather be soaked.
you can go ahead and clip that, JD.
Yeah.
I don't want
to
not know.
Trey just wants to wash his clothes often. That's all.
Wash them. Wash up. They get softer.
Did you read the story? You read the whole story or heard the whole Gary Payton story? No.
No, I saw it. I thought it was Shaq had a bucket there for a week and just use it as his collector for everything that came out of his body and then poured it on somebody. That's what I thought Gary Payton was insinuating. But you know, these 90s stories, this is the 2000s. This is when Gary Payton was his teammate.
That's a good point.
Right.
2000.
He was only a teammate in the 2000s.
Yeah, right. True.
Later in Shaq's career when things were a little more, I don't know.
People are starting to like get a little more serious about people throwing piss on each other.
Yeah.
But you can sometimes get away with it. Yeah.
I mean, Trey's only urine makes a little more sense.
Oh, I believe...
If you're trying to make sense of this stupid story.
Yeah, I think the bucket was in the shower.
Yeah.
I think that's where the Sir Fosters were happening.
Yeah.
And then I think when the rookie came into the shower, it happened in a shower area. Gotcha. And then, you know, that's gross. What was that? Oh, that was my piss.
Yeah. That's okay, because then you're washing it straight off.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's okay.
It's cool now.
Yeah. Wow. It's not, like, highly unbelievable. We worked with... You know, we were around.
Do you have a story you've never shared with us?
We worked around Shaq. His clothes would just be hanging out. You know, he would finish. We worked on every day. We'd come in the mornings. He would work Thursday nights. Sometimes you'd come in, you'd see Shaq clothes.
It's like a tornado.
You just
start peeling off. Like, I get to the hookah bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he was playing basketball. You know, the equipment manager will clean that up.
Yeah, right.
So, that carried on to TNT at times. There's some clothes around, but no.
There's never a bucket.
No remnants of anything in TNT. Yeah, I interpreted it as that was my collector for a week. You know, that. So that was...
You keep saying that like it's a normal thing.
No, this whole story is not normal.
This is my piss and shit bucket. It's right there. So I've been there for a week. I think
GP's exaggerating a little bit. Or a lot of it.
So Gary Payton and Shaq, teammates on the Lakers, only one season. The rookies that year, Luke Walton, Ime Udoka, Brian Cook, and Maurice Carter. Those are the four guys getting pissed thrown on him. One of them is an NBA coach, so I think somebody needs to follow up with Ime Udoka about this. And I'll add my second, little second thing here. A good thing about Shaq, this is brought to mind in the studio. If you ever walked out of a bathroom and Shaq was around, guarantee you'd say, you just take a shit.
He did always say that.
It's very funny.
He always said that.
It's very funny. It's something I do in my house now.
I did come Girls out one it. Time and there was this enormous shadow of a man leaning up against the wall. Did you just take a number one or number two?
Yeah. He did do that.
Yeah. Right? Luckily, I was only doing my makeup. And I had a few doodads, but he was doing my makeup. I was doing my makeup on my clothes. So I wasn't. I didn't want to Shaq walk in after a nasty one in this.
He would appreciate it.
He teammates, though, in Miami with Peyton, though, too, weren't they?
Ooh, yeah, later. I got to go look it up. Yeah, later.
I don't know. Find out who those rookies are. Yeah.
I mean, Udoka would not accept that. He's a barrel-chested man. I don't think he would take no guff, whether it's just urine or
all right,
not.
All right, Chris Quinn and Robert Height are the other guys.
I could see him doing that to Chris Quinn. He would get Chris Quinn.
Oh, the medicine man definitely got some piss
thrown
on
Chris
Quinn.
Oh, Piss Quinn? Or Pime Udoka?
All right. Good tweet there, Lee. Sorry I said that to you. Pick'em results from Friday night's game. We had that Mavs-Jazz game, and if you remember, the line was pretty big. Utah was favored by 6.5 at home, and oh, God, Vegas, you know what's up, man. Jazz won. Didn't cover.
No.
But they won by 5. Very close. Mm-hmm. That's a loss for me. It's a loss for Tass is what's really important here, because that loss dropped Tass to 4-10 in the month of February. I'm tied with Lee at 10-4, and then Trey 7-7. There's only one game left here in the month of February, one night to pick games from tonight. So it's a wrap. You're not coming back, and Tass is losing again here. You're racking up these losses.
It's incredible.
Yeah, is that you? You're three losses now, or three payoffs do you owe us?
This year, three of the 5 months so far this season. I'm the loser, the big loser.
Ouch. Okay, so if you've got a great idea.
I've got a bucket just here.
Well, let's put it there for a week. Yeah. I'll do our business. And then we'll,
next Monday.
we gotta at least have a bucket on the table. Yeah.
full of apple juice or something. Tass owes a bunch of payoffs. I still owe one too. Got something in mind. Maybe I'll even do it this week. But anyway, if you got an idea for Tass to pay it off, tweet at us at NoDocsInc. Leave it in the YouTube comments because he owes a lot of these, man. We're piling them up.
Keeping the buckets out of this studio. That's the plan. No buckets
around.
Well,
we don't use a bucket. Just do it on the fly. Maybe one of them.
100 times worse. Do it on the fly.
Hey, I'm just trying to create, you know?
Come here. I'll just pee on your leg real quick. We'll call it a payoff.
Well, I got two boys in the house. I'd probably do that anyway. So,
All right.
Yeah, I mean, we were sitting here for 3 hours on Saturday night's All-Star game. We could have had catheters here. Just collecting.
We all got up at one point, didn't we?
We did.
We broke the seal.
Yeah, we didn't use a bucket.
speak for yourself. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Keep them coming. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok @NoDunksInc. Get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And if you want some No Dunks merch, go over to nodunks.com. All right, that was a fun, long Monday episode here. We're here all week in the Classic Factory, so we'll see you guys tomorrow live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Might have a Top Shot Hot Boys coming for you later today, too, if you're into that. Till then, though, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I got nothing. I'm just thinking about Shaq and buckets. It's disgusting.
How big is the bucket? Right?
The big bucket.
Put it on Basketball Reference, the big bucket for Shaq's new nickname. Brace the day, people.